Yo, you are listening to Stereo Serie A. Yes, Stereo Serie A. We're back, bitches, because it's been way too long, and we are so excited to share everything that we've been working on, because we promise you, we have been working hard during this time off, and we are so grateful and so excited to be back, because a new Serie A season is back, and there's plenty to talk about. And tonight, we're going to talk about the coaching carousel that's been going on. We're going to talk about the new arrivals to the league, the most improved squads, the least improved squads, the Capo Canninieri race, and the new boys, the teams that have come up, the Brescia, the Lecce, the Verona. I am your host, Marco Cubani D'Onofrio, and I'm so glad to be joined by the crew, Daniel Donato Grassi.
It's been way too long, fellas.
Way too long.
A lot's happened in Serie A. Crazy world out there.
Crazy Anthony, world. Sports caddy, Lapopolo.
I'm loving this right now. This is the gang back together. Sans Boz, but...
Hope he's having fun, wherever he is.
He's in Bosnia, no? Yeah. He's in Bosnia.
Hopefully.
Having fun.
Hopefully. Nobody knows where in Europe.
The man without a microphone, Marco... The intern, Principe, who's looking good right now. He looks like he's been working out. He's taking some pictures. Come to the mic, man. What's up?
What's going on, boys? Happy to be back. Going to do some social media background photos and whatnot. Post them to our Instagram. Post them to Twitter. Let the people know that we're back. We're strong. We're motivated. We're excited. We're happy to be here.
We're ready to go.
We're fired up.
Producer Gizmo.
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Yo, what's going on?
You've been waiting to play that clip for so long. Oh, I know it.
It's been sitting there in the queue, just getting ready to fire it off. But yeah, happy to be back and happy to have you guys all in the same room again. It's an honor.
And as Lapopolo mentioned, there's one important member of the crew that's not here tonight, and that's because he's off in Bosnia and heading to Hungary shortly to attend the wedding of a good friend of ours, Dan Ariccio. So congratulations, Dan. Have a good time over there and enjoy what I'm sure will be a crazy wedding. But like I said, we've been working on a ton. And a week from now, we will be releasing what we've been working on for a few months. And we are so happy to do it because in the preview that we've kind of released a few weeks ago, a teaser, we talked about how we were now taking the scenic route. And that's exactly what we're doing. We've been on the highways for the last 8 years. We're flipping the switch a bit. And we're going to take the scenic route. And we're going to tell the story of Cristiano Ronaldo's transfer to Juventus. And the first episode of our document series, that's what it's about. And we're going to take you through the entire transfer, that inside story with some of the biggest, most prolific experts in the field today. And we are so excited for what's to come. So please stay tuned to that. That is one podcast. If you've never listened to anything Stereo Serie A, make sure you listen to that because I can honestly say we've worked so hard on that. So I'm so, so excited for that. But let's get right into our first topic because it's been way too long. The coaching carousel, because since the last time we've done an official full show, looking at these names and where these coaches are, none of us would have had this going. None of us could have predicted that Maurizio Sarri would end up at Juventus, that Antonio Conte would be at Inter, that Gianpaolo would be at Milan, Fonseca at Roma. I mean, there's just so much to get to. Ancelotti, of course, is still in Napoli. But of the names I just mentioned, guys, right off the bat, who do we believe will have the most success with their new club right off the bat?
I gotta say, sorry. I think he's gonna really improve this side from a aesthetic standpoint. I think Juve are gonna play a lot more attractive football than they did under Allegri. Whether it's more effective, we don't really know yet. But I think at the very least, we're gonna see a more positive approach from Juve. They may concede a few more goals, but I mean, they signed a guy who will keep them out in Matthias De Ligt. So. I think he'll make the biggest impact of these coaches.
Lapopolo mentioned aesthetic football, aesthetically pleasing football anyways, because that's exactly what Sarri brings, and that's what we know, Grassi, that Juventus fans have been craving for. But Juventus's motto has always been win at all costs. Does Sarri have that mentality, and do you believe he will finally be able... I mean, the Scudetto is the Scudetto, and we'll get to that in a little bit, but do you believe he will finally... This is the man that can finally end that drought and bring what every Juve fan has been begging for, the Champions League home.
It's a little bit, it's hard to say just because if you look at the players that Juve brought in and then the players that left and that are expected to leave, it kind of makes you wonder what exactly is going to happen, because we sold Cancelo, but he'd probably be perfect for his style.
Yeah.
They want to get rid of Dybala, but then he says he wants players that have fantasia and more creativity. So it's a little bit difficult to see what the plan is, you know, as of yet, because I've yet to see something concrete. We saw little flashes of his sari ball, I guess you could say, the possession, the movement. We also saw a little bit more of the conceding of goals that you guys alluded to, because Juve's conceded quite a few goals in this preseason, but it's also, I think, a learning curve for some of the players like Demirel and De Ligt. Yeah. They don't speak the language. I think the language barrier is huge. They're also very young players. You're coming to one of the biggest clubs in the world. Some of them, it's a massive jump and a massive step, so I think it's going to take time. I like the arrivals in the midfield with Rabiot and Ramsey, although I don't necessarily know where someone like Ramsey is going to fit, because we don't really play that formation. But I'm just curious to see how this Sarri ball is going to play with Juve, especially with some of the guys that we have. He left Napoli, I guess, as a loser, quote-unquote, because he had never won before. He comes back to Serie A as a winner because he won the Europa League, his first trophy or his first senior medal. So it's interesting to see if he can continue with that success. I believe that the person that's going to have the most success is going to be either Conte or Gianpaoli at Milan. Obviously, Conte, you know what he has to offer. He's won 4 league titles, 3 with Juve and 1 with Chelsea. He's won a league title in the first year of top flight football for any of the big clubs that he's managed. He won with Juve and he won with Chelsea. So now it's going to be 3 for 3 with Inter. Are they going to be that team that breaks the 8-year Scudetto run that Juve's on? Now, if you look at all the players that they brought in, some of them fit perfectly into his system, right? They can play that 3-5-2, especially with Godin in the middle. And then they have that tall striker that he likes, right? So in Lukaku, even though I didn't necessarily think he would have been a good fit for Juve, I think he's the perfect fit for Inter. You know, only time will tell. However, the pieces are slowly falling in for Inter and for Conte to maybe break that drought, because they've had over 3,000 days without a trophy. If you follow that Twitter account.
Conte, you got to give him, I mean, I don't know if I should say you got to give him credit, but he's come in and taken an axe to that squad. It doesn't matter which players were recently brought in. I mean, Nainggolan was just brought in a year ago, and he said, no, there's no spot for him, right? And, I mean, you look at what Inter gave up to bring him in.
Yeah.
They're paying the price for that.
Yeah.
But with that said, is Conte going to do at Inter what he did at Juventus? Because people forget how bad Juve was before he got there, right? This was a team that finished 7th in back-to-back seasons. He comes in, they go undefeated in their first year and beat a pretty strong Milan side for that Scudetto.
Yeah, and we always talk about how Pazza Inter are as a team. You know, they're always up and down. They're never steady as she goes. I think Conte is going to bring some stability to this team, and I think he's going to bring, above all, winning mentality. And I think that's what Inter have been missing for all these years. Somebody to come in and take charge. Spalletti can be a fine tactician. I never got the sense that he was in control of the situation with Icardi, with the team in general. It was always a bit too dramatic with him in charge. And even with Mancini, there was that element as well. I think Conte's come in. He's demanded a certain level. Axe players who he believes aren't good enough for his project. In conjunction with Marotta, obviously, the CEO. And I think that's going to make the difference. And I think that's what Inter needs, because they've been too inconsistent for too long.
Now, the other thing that I think Conte is going to bring that no other tactician can, I think, like he does, is that sense of pride. Because that's what he brought to Juventus, right? He brought that sense of, you play for Juventus, we're a big club, don't fuck around. And I think that's what he brings to Inter as well. And that's what Inter desperately need. We'll find out if Lukaku's the answer up top, as well as, you know, Barella in the midfield. And there's a ton to talk about. But I got to ask you, Gross. Sorry.
Yeah, but just to follow up what you just said, he brought a sense of pride to Juve. But I feel like because he was Juve's former captain, it was easier for him to go into the change room and to look at every single player and say, this is what you need to do to play for this club. And if you don't have that, then you need to get the fuck out.
But,
right? Because he had that. He had that it factor. He had that stuff.
Because he coached there.
Because
he played there.
Because he played there. He captained them. He's won Champions League. He's won Scudetti. He's won everything. So if you're looking at him, you're like, okay, this guy was a former leader here. So he understands what it takes to play for this club.
But with that said, and I'll counter that in the sense that now he's also got that coaching pedigree that he didn't have when he got there, right? So now you're right.
Because he's a winner now, right? He's won league titles. He's been to finals.
He's won the Premier League. He's done that. So maybe that, and we'll see, because you're right. He's got the full support of Beppe Marotta up there as well. So what about Milan? What about Roma? Which coaching change do you like better? And who do you think will benefit most?
I mean,
who do you think has the best chance to get back into the top four?
I'll admit, when Giampaolo was hired as Milan manager, I was a bit skeptical of the move. I didn't really see him as the kind of statement hiring that maybe I expected them to make at this point. I mean, they can't. I went into this offseason saying that they can't get that hiring, that appointment wrong. Like, they just can't. They've hired and fired too many managers. He has to be the guy. And from what I've seen in preseason, I've been impressed. Even though they haven't won all their games, they've played with a real identity for the first time in a long time. I like the two striker formation. I think it's Milan's style. And it also fits the players that they have. They've not had really a left winger to play in a 4-3-3 for some time. So it's enough of that formation. I'm glad that they've moved to a different formation that I think brings out the most of the squad. And it seems like he's not really a pushover in the sense that, you know, he's not there to be any of these players' friends. Like, he's not there to be your friend. He's there to do a job. He's not a former Milan man. He's there to do a job and to get the best out of this core. It's a bit more workmanlike than I think we've seen from previous managers. And I like that. I think it's a good thing that there's not that attachment to the club. He knows that he has to earn his respect there. And I think he's getting to work at it. And I'm more hopeful now than I was when he was appointed. Because if you look at his record at Sampdoria, Sampdoria played some good football under him. But they never really played consistent football. They would play really well at home, but they would lose away from home all the time. Ups and downs. I didn't really think he had the winning mentality that maybe Milan needs. That said, I think he's starting a project now. And we're early on, we're starting to see the fruits of his labor.
Now, let's talk about some new arrivals, because there are some interesting players that have come into the league. You know, Gross, you mentioned a couple of Juventus additions. We know Mario Balotelli is on his way back to the peninsula, which...
Thank you.
Yes, I can't wait to see that, because especially with Brescia, his home club, his hometown club, I think that's going to be so fun to watch. And maybe Marchisio will be there joining him as well. We don't know. This is all speculation right now. Which star, which player, it doesn't even have to be a star, which player are we most excited for to see play in Italy this season? And who do we think is going to be the biggest flop?
That's a tough question. I mean, I'll preface it by saying this. I really like the signings that have been made by, like, Serie A's chasing pack, if you will. So the teams in the bottom 10, because, you know, we always talk about the competitiveness in Serie A or lack thereof. I think it's on those bottom 10 clubs to be more competitive. And they have been in the transfer market. I mean, Cagliari has gone out and spent that Barella money pretty well. They brought in Raj from Napoli. They signed Nandez from Boca Juniors, who was, you know, linked with other top clubs in Europe. And I think they're getting Pellegrini back on loan. They're making tons of moves. And Nijnglen. I mean, that's a huge pickup. I mean, regardless of the fact that he wasn't very good last season, or, you know, regardless of his, you know, whatever, off the field antics, whatever. He's still a fantastic player, and unfortunately, you know, he's decided to go back to Sardinia because his wife is from there, and his wife is being treated for cancer at the moment. But I think for Cagliari, they've really retooled their squad, and that's one team that I can see going from being, you know, a mid-tier club to now maybe pushing for a Europa League spot. And I think if every team kind of makes that little jump, you're going to get a better league. I think this season will be a lot better than last season for that reason.
And I also think you're seeing the league, like, transfer within, which is strengthening clubs to a certain degree, like Manolas going to Napoli.
Huge.
Is huge, right? Yeah. That's a big acquisition for them. But new arrival, Gras, to the league altogether. So we're not going to count the Nainggolan into Cagliari. We're not going to count Manolas to Napoli. New arrival to Serie A.
It doesn't play for Juve?
Well, you can answer if you think if the player that goes to Juve is going to be the make the most impact, sure, or the biggest flop. Mm.
So I'm going to say a Juve player and then a non-Juve player, but I'm going to start with the non-Juve player first, and you guys might be a little bit surprised at this one. I'm very curious to see, and I hope I pronounce his name correctly, Pau Lopez does for Roma and Nes.
Interesting.
And the reason why I say that, because we saw how good Roma was with Alisson.
Yeah.
And Olsen.
And Olsen is probably the worst top flight keeper in the history of mankind. I think he is the worst player I've ever seen in my life. And I would not pick him for my Sunday men's league team. Roma, in my opinion, would have finished higher than they did if it wasn't for all of his blunders.
It's true.
Now, I also think that Fazio and Manolas can look like chickens with their heads cut off, because the way they read the game is very poor. And they feed off of each other. They feed off each other's shitness. There was just a tsunami of shit at some points. And I still don't know how they beat Barcelona with that comeback.
Is that a Trailer Park Boys inspired reference?
Yeah, it was. I'm glad that somebody picked that up, that reference. But I'm very curious to see how he does, especially because I feel like Roma, they didn't really sell any key players this time around.
Yeah.
They kept Zaniolo. They just extended.
They kept Dzeko.
They just extended Dzeko, right?
They sold Manolas, though.
They sold Manolas. That's right. They got Spinazzola, which is an upgrade at the back. So, I mean, you cannot be worse than what Olsen was. So, you're an upgrade. So, I think they're going to get a few more points because of him. And I'm curious to see how he does in the capital city, how they play in Europe and all that. And for Juve, I mean, it's easy to kind of say the new center back that we got that everybody wanted from Ajax and De Ligt. But I'm curious to see how Danilo plays. Mm. Because I think he took a lot of heat because he was coming in for Cancelo. And I feel like because he was part of that deal, people were kind of just shitting on him automatically. A lot of people are saying that maybe he's better defensively. And I don't know yet because I haven't seen too much of him, especially because at Man City, Kyle Walker played much more often than he did. But I mean, he did play for Real Madrid. He did play for Man City. He has about four or five league titles. He has a Champions League winner's medal. He's played in the biggest stages. And he's also won pretty much everything there is to win with Alexandro as well in South America. I believe they're both in the same team that won the Copa Libertadores. They're on the same team that won a title with Brazil. So he already has that connection. We have a lot of South American players, right? So I think it's going to be an easy transition for him. And I think he just didn't really fit in England. A lot of players from South America always talk about them not liking England because maybe the lack of culture. It's difficult to understand the English language, especially if certain parts of England.
Well, it's not even English.
Yeah, their dialect is pretty hard to understand, right? So, especially for someone who's coming from Brazil, they're probably like, what the hell is going on right now? Like, I'm just trying to order a hamburger. I don't know what the hell you're trying to sell me, right? So, I'm curious to see how he does. But also, the return of Buffon. Like, does this add pressure to Szczesny now? Because in the preseason, he didn't really look that good. Mm. So, it's kind of like the ghost is looming behind you. There's a shadow behind you. And if I start letting in a couple of soft goals, am I going to be displaced?
There are two ways for him to respond to that. He can either be
the best goalie in the world, or he's going to shit the bed.
Well, that's
right. There's no happy medium. He's not just going to play okay. He's either going to be the best goalie in Serie A this year, or he's literally going to be the worst.
I'm going to start off with... I don't want to start off with Napoli, but I do kind of want to start off with Napoli because I want to mention Elmas. And I say that because he was kind of an under-the-radar signing this year coming from Turkey. And the reason I think he's going to be a stud is, one, he looked very impressive in Ann Arbor. Two, Ancelotti knows how to pick his midfielders. I mean, we saw last year Napoli signed Fabian Ruiz, who ended up becoming the under-21 Euro player of the tournament. And I think he's a stud. And I'm very curious to see how he does. I'm also curious. I know it's an in-league transfer, but Barella at Inter. Because now he's making that step up to the next club, and we saw how good he looked.
He's ready.
Yeah, and we're going to see that, right? And under Conte, I think he's going to be a stud. I'm not a huge Lukaku fan, but I think this is the right club and the right system for him, so I think he's also going to do very well. My flop, though, and this might surprise people, and it was a guy that I know you mentioned earlier, Gross, but I actually think it's going to be Aaron Ramsey. And not because I don't think he's got the quality. I think he does. I think he's got all the skill in the world. And, I mean, we saw what he did to Napoli in the Europa League last year. I just don't think he's going to stay healthy. And that's always been his issue, right? And even right now, there's some question marks. And with Sarri's system, it's, I mean, obviously you got to be healthy to stay in any system, but it's going to take a while for him, one, to adapt to that system. And if you can't stay healthy, especially in the preseason, when all that hard work is going on, I think that, and like you mentioned, Gross, he doesn't really fit into that system to begin with. So I think there's a lot of question marks, and I think he's going to have a lot of pressure because he is such a good player. He's a solid, talented, quality addition to the squad. I'm just curious to see how he adapts to Sarri's system and whether he can stay healthy. And I think that's a major question mark.
I also have major question marks about Godin. I for the last couple of years, I rated Godin as the best center back in the world. Best pure center back. Like, people can allude to Ramos and some of these guys that come up with goals and stuff like that, but he can easily get skinned, right? Like, people talk, you know, like, we've seen Piqué get skinned. We've seen Ramos one-on-one, you know, and then they had Ramos just pulls your jersey because he made you look stupid, right? We often confuse the best center backs with the ones who can score the most goals, but defensively, they're actually trash. And if you look at the EPL, they can't defend for their lives. Right, like if you look at Man City, if they spent over $500 million on center back, you still don't have a proper center back.
John Stones was the second coming of Paolo Maldini.
And that never happened.
And
right?
Now he's on the bench.
And I think Van Dijk is fantastic. I think he's the best center back in the world right now, especially after last season's performances.
It's not Harry Maguire?
No. Man. I honestly like the signing of Harry Maguire, but if because he's British, he went for $80 million. But then you have somebody like, if Moise Keane's name was Greg Jones or something, he would have went for $90 million instead of $40 million.
Andy Carroll was sold for more than Luis Suarez in the same summer.
Yeah, so there you go.
Right,
Which is ridiculous. But I think Godin is going to have a difficult time in Serie A, especially with the style of play that Conte plays. Because Simeone, I think, is a little bit different. We like to play the ball out more, and he doesn't have to do that much defending. Whereas I think because of the 3-5-2, I think he's going to get exposed. I like him a lot. I just think he's going to get... And I don't know if he's going to stay fit. He already got hurt.
He did. That's a question.
So that's a question mark with his health. And he's getting older. Is it going to be like the signing when Inter got... Who was the center back for Man U and they got a couple of years ago? The partner for Rio Ferdinand.
Vidic.
Vidic, yeah. Sorry, I forgot.
That was a big
bust. Is it going to be like a Vidic signing where we thought he was still world class, but then he just... fell down the mountain, or is he going to be able to maintain that level of play? Because he got beat a lot last year in La Liga. He wasn't the same player.
But he will have the support. I mean, that's a pretty solid...
Yeah, it is a solid back three.
So, and it's a good question, though. And it's one that, you know what, Godin was one of those guys people forget about because the official signing, I know it only happened really this summer, but you knew this was coming since January. Yeah. So people forget that. Oh, yeah, by the way, Inter signed Godin. And that is an interesting question. Also, before we get to the most improved, least improved squads, I do need to shout out City's other Champions League team that we haven't talked and we haven't even mentioned once
yet. Oh, my God.
Atlanta. You know what I mean? And they've done a fantastic job.
Shame on us.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They've done a fantastic job to not only keep their stars, and I also think Duvan Zapata is going to have another crazy year.
Yeah.
But Crossy's right there. I'm not even going to... And you know what, Gross? Spoiler alert, you and Sonia Missio have the same answer.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
But, and he looked good at the Copa America, you know, and there was a point this summer I was really thinking that Napoli was going to bring Zapata and James Rodriguez together. And that would have been crazy.
That would have been ridiculous.
If they could have pulled that off.
And they signed Luis Muriel.
Yes, they did. So what do we think of Atlanta? Is this a team that could not only fish in a European place again, but potentially a Champions League spot for the second straight year?
I mean, it really depends on how far they go in the Champions League. Because they're starting the group stage, they don't really need to, you know, bother with the preliminary round at all or the playoff round. It really depends on how far, what kind of group they get. It depends if they make the round of 16, they might be too stretched to really pay attention.
That would be something.
If
they made the round of 16 in Champions League,
it depends on their group.
It doesn't matter what they do in the season.
It's true.
You know what
it's
I mean?
It's true. I think they have the potential to finish in a top four spot again. I think it would be silly to rule them out because for the past two seasons, they've they've challenged for that spot. And last season, of course, they won a spot. So I don't really think it's wise to write them off just yet. But if they're stretched a little bit too much, I can see them dropping points here and there. And I think Roma and Milan are really in the business of in the hunt of that fourth spot.
Gross, let me ask you about another team we haven't mentioned so far. Is Montella the man to lead the Viola?
No. No. Nope. I don't think so. I don't want to use any more verbs, adverbs, adjective, whatever you want to call it. I don't. I think they did well to keep Chiesa, even though he doesn't want to stay.
Yeah. He'll get his move eventually.
I think he'll get his move eventually. I don't know if it'll be now, January, or next summer. I have question marks about Montella's tactics. I don't really think he's a man manager, which I think this young squad needs, especially somebody like Chiesa. I'm excited to see what the new owner is going to bring because I don't think he's one of those pushovers.
Rocco Camiso.
And I think we're going to maybe see the Viola more in North America as well because of that connection in New York, right? So I think that's nice to see other clubs coming to North America. Maybe they'll come to Toronto. Hopefully, I wouldn't mind seeing them again. I know they played Juve in a friendly
2011.
Yeah, so it would be cool to see them again, especially with all this young talent. I think Fiorentina is going to have a good season. I hope that they get approved and they're allowed to wear the captain's armband from their...
They should.
You know what I mean?
That should carry over.
I think that should carry over for life.
If they want to use that for life, they should be.
They shouldn't be fined. There shouldn't be a penalty.
Don't worry. If they get fined, I'm pretty sure Rocco Camiso can handle those Euros.
You know what the thing is, though? There's some things that are... It's bigger than sports. There's a human aspect to it. I think this is a no-brainer, but I also think that we've seen the bullshit that goes on in Serie A.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that wearing the captain's armband of their former captain who passed away is a problem. So it honestly doesn't surprise me because we live Italy's backwards. We're 500 years back. So
when piracy gets more attention than racism does, but that's another story for another day.
We don't have enough time.
Yes. No. And we will tell that story as well. That's foreshadowing right now. But most improved squad, least improved squad.
This is a tough one because, you know, I want to like look at some of the smaller teams and say, yeah, like Cagliari, better team than they were last season. But I have to say that Inter are probably a better team than they were last season and probably made the biggest jump in terms of the wide variety of signings that they've made. They've pretty much reinforced every position, especially midfield. And I think that's the most important position for any Antonio Conte-led team. And that's going to play a huge part in his reinvention of the side. I don't think if those signings weren't made and if they didn't have the ability to make signings, Conte wouldn't be there. So it was really important, I think, that they made those signings. They brought in Sensi, brought in Barella, obviously got his, you know, target man in Lukaku. We still don't really know what's happening with Icardi.
Godin,
obviously. Yeah, we mentioned Godin. I think you know, it'd be interesting to see what happens to guys like Politano now because you don't really have room for him unless he wants to become a wing back, which I don't really see him as. I think they've made the biggest improvements. I want to throw Milan in there as well because just from the way they've managed the squad, they may not be the most improved team, but you look at the team man for man and there was a lot of dead weight and there still kind of is, but they let a lot of contracts expire. They didn't really have to replace some of those players. And they brought in more quality. Now you have a team that's only competing in Serie A that basically has six midfielders. Basically two players for every position. So they're really reinforced. And I think anybody can really have a claim to any spot right now. And that's the kind of competition that you want. And that's the kind of competition that they haven't had in their side in a long time. I'm really excited for Bennacer. He was one of the best players at the African Cup of Nations. He's basically going to compete with... Well, he'll compete with Bilia, but I expect him to start. He posted similar numbers to Bakayoko on a really bad Empoli side. And they also signed Krunic from that Empoli side as well. Two gems, I think, on that relegation team that stood out. And otherwise... on a team that tried to play good football, but I think as other relegated sides went, they kind of didn't really focus on the results enough and ended up losing out for it. But I think I'm hopeful. I'm more hopeful than I thought I would be going into this season.
Gus, is there any team that you believe have significantly downgraded or are less have less quality this season than they did last season?
Less quality.
Like, I want to say Roma.
I want to say Roma, but then...
But you can't.
They didn't lose. Then last Manolas, so maybe they're not as good at the back. But I think Spinazzola is an upgrade to Pellegrini, even though I like Pellegrini, but I just think he's too inexperienced. He's too young right now.
Right.
Whereas I think it's a great move for Spinazzola to go there because it's a Euro Cup season. He's going to get to start every game.
And they potentially got rid of Olsen, like you said.
Yeah, they got rid of Olsen, who sucked. Okay, you sucked ass. Yeah, I just hated him. I just thought he was...
I love that
he played for Roma because I hate Roma. And I love that he would make these paparas and they would lose. But I'm happy that they have a real keeper, finally, because I'm a big Alisson fan. I was pretty upset when he left because he was a great addition to Serie A. It's hard to say who got worse. Like, Napoli got better in this because they got Manolas, so they have a partner for...
And Di Lorenzo, I think, is an underrated pickup, too.
It's going to be a good...
And he's a huge addition.
They didn't lose anyone, really. The season before, they lost Jorginho, and then, you know, they would lose small pieces. They lost Higuain and stuff like that, right? Yeah. So they didn't lose any of those big pieces, which I think was big. For Juve, I guess maybe Danilo is a downgrade to Cancelo, but Cancelo was kind of poor defensively. And then we kind of saw Di Ciglio playing some of the more important games last year instead of him. So it kind of made you wonder if Juve actually wanted to keep him after, even if Allegri was going to stay, because he didn't really trust them after. He was great going forward, but then we got exposed. And Bonucci and Chiellini are not the fastest defenders. I mean, Chiellini's 35 now. He was quick once upon a time, but he's getting a little bit older. And Bonucci is vulnerable one-on-one, he can get skinned, so I can see why maybe he didn't want to play him. It's hard to say who got worse if you're going to talk about the big boys. I like the fact that Lazio was able to keep all of their players. Because Milinkovic-Savic, you know, the $100 million man that Lotito said that he declined offers for, which he's full of shit, because if somebody offered $100 million for him
this year, I think last year
maybe, because he was at his peak, yeah, of like, okay, everybody wanted him and Juve was interested and Man U, yeah, and
this season and whoever,
I think he took, he's not worth anywhere close to that anymore,
yep,
right? So I like the arrival, like everybody got better, which is better for Serie A, and we got players from different leagues that chose our leagues over other leagues, right? We saw Ramsey and Rabiot were two players that had offers to go everywhere.
And Dalit.
And Dalit was, they said it was signed, sealed, and delivered to go to Barcelona.
Barcelona, then PSG. Then
PSG, then Manchester United. He ended up picking Juve, which I'm over the moon about, because I feel like we needed to get younger, especially at the center back position. And we also got Demiral. So I think those are, you know, you're getting the squad is a lot younger, and Rabiot is in his 20s, and so is Ramsey. I just think overall the league got better.
Yeah.
We're bringing in some European flavor from other countries, which I think is huge. We have a big French contingent. We have a Portuguese contingent, right? Obviously, Serie A. We have Ramsey, who's the captain, vice captain of Wales, right? So we have a that British flavor into it. So I think it's important that we have bits and pieces from other countries, but also we have to showcase our own talent. And I think it's bad that we lost some of our stars, like Cutrone and Moise Keane, and then you have Verratti. Like, those three guys are potentially starters on our national team this summer, and now they're gone, right? So the good that we made, there's also bad to it too, right? But
If it means those guys are getting playing time, then...
It's weird because, you know, we always talk about how the Premier League doesn't give their youngsters a chance, but here's Serie A selling away their young players to the Premier League. It's very odd because I think a lot of the criticisms that we have for the Premier League can be directed towards Serie A too. That you know, maybe you don't give the youth enough of a chance, things like that. I was heartbroken to see Cutrone go, especially at that price, 18 million euros. You're talking about somebody who has two full seasons of experience and who's scored quite a few goals in different competitions. So I thought that was a ridiculously low fee, even for Moise Keane. I mean, you know, he had his breakout season last year for Juve, but I still think that he could have gone for more than what he did.
And he played for the national team.
But he has the potential to be an absolute star. And
I think he would be in Sarri's system too.
I think he would be.
And he's got that skill. But
yeah,
I think that was the case. And that was a simple case of both those guys. Yeah, it was only $18 million for Cotrone, but that represents pure profit on the Bats books.
Absolutely.
And same with Keane, right? Because they came up through the system. And I think that's what, unfortunately for them, I think that's what it came down to, is that Juventus need to balance the books a little bit. Milan need to balance the books a bit. And those two, as much as you hate to see them go, it was easy money to bring in. And yeah. And I think that's what that was a result of. The other team I want to... Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to go back to Roma because, I think over the past 2 years, they've been an easy team to pick on, and rightfully so, because they've presented themselves that way. But I can't really fault them this season because... Okay, they lost Manolas, they lost El Shaarawy to the China,
I don't think El Shaarawy has a spot in the team anymore.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. They signed Diawara, who I think is going to be a real good addition. Ferratu from Fiorentina, who I think is going to be fantastic as well. They sold Nzonzi, who was a walking corpse last season for Roma, and what was the other? Oh, and they signed Gianluca Mancini from Atalanta, which I think is a real under the radar, a really good signing. So
they've gotten younger.
Gotten a bit younger and
more Italian.
They've signed some of their biggest players to new contracts. I don't think Roma fans can be too unhappy with the way this summer has gone, considering the way previous summers have gone.
My question, I got one more team to ask you guys about. I mean, we'll talk about the others as well. But one team I want to ask you about is a team that's in the Europa League right now and fighting their ass to get into the group stage. That's Mazzari's Torino.
Torino.
Unlucky their draw, though.
Who
makes these draws?
But you know what, though? You're right. It's unlucky. It's unfortunate for them. But you want to get to the Europa League group stage? And, I mean, they were already kind of handed a spot to begin with.
Sure.
So they were already fortunate in that regard. But you're right. It's an unlucky draw. But you want to show what Italy and Serie A can do and what you can do in the league, go out and do it against the comparable team in England, right? So
Wolves is a good side.
Yeah, I mean, hey, they just signed Cotrone, right? I mean we'll see what he
Torino really hasn't done any business this summer. I'm just looking through their transfers right now. They basically just made guys that they had on loan, they just made those deals permanent.
Yep.
Like Ola Aina and Zaza, Christian Insaldi. So they haven't really done anything. But the thing is, what I found last season when they were making that charge to the Champions League, which was bizarre, is that Mazzarri really had the team working as a unit. Really had it working as a unit. It was such a functional, efficient team. And even a guy like Armando Izzo, who nobody really talks about as a good center back in Serie A, I think he is quietly one of Serie A's better center backs, even though it was a bit of a nut job. But he's like, that's one core piece that they were able to keep, I think that makes all the difference, especially when you're battling in multiple competitions.
And that's one quality Mazzarri does have. And I'll say it was very reminiscent to his time at Napoli at the time when, I mean, listen, you had Salvatore Aronica and Gianluca Grava starting for you. And he got that team playing like a unit. And, I mean, eventually he failed when he went to Inter and other clubs. But I think Torino is a good spot for him. It's a good club for him. It's that mid-table team that he can bring to the next level. And we've seen that. So I'm curious to see how that one goes. But let's talk Capo Cannonieri. Because this year, I mean, it's never easy to predict. I think this year is even a little bit more difficult. And the reason I say that, in all honesty, and I'm going to get you guys' thoughts on it, but one, I think, and we still really don't know yet because of everything that's still happening and all these moving pieces, but I think whoever does end up playing number 9 for Juventus should be a lock in Sarri's system. And I mean, for me, and call me crazy, I think it's nuts if Ronaldo doesn't play there, and I don't think he will play there. I think he prefers to play out wide, but I think he'd have 100 goals with his size and his quality. If he's playing in that center forward position under Sarri, like a Mertens kind of role, he's bigger, he can get the ball in the air, he can do so much. I think he would be a lock. I don't think that's going to happen, though. We don't know what's going on with Higuain yet, whether he'll stay. So Dybala, we don't know what's happening there. So my choice for Kapokanen, I didn't call me crazy. And again, I'm not his biggest fan. I think he'll do well this year at Inter, though. I'm going with Lukaku.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. And I know a lot of people, you know, rip on him for being, you know, for having the touch of an elephant and, you know, all of these things. He doesn't have pace, whatever. But those, the technique might be a problem in Serie A when you're dealing with the defenders in Italy. But the pace is not going to be an issue. And I think he'll slow down the game, and that'll be just fine for Inter. And you know, the bottom line is that, you know, even though he wasn't the greatest signing for Man United, he still scored somewhere close to 50 goals for them in those two seasons. So he can put the ball in the back of the net.
And he wasn't Man United's problem. Let's get this right.
No, he wasn't. But I think, you know, he also had to play under two managers that didn't really get the best out of him either. I mean, under Mourinho and Solskjaer, those are two managers who didn't really value his best characteristics. Mourinho had him play out wide quite a bit. I think now he's going to play under a manager who really appreciates his characteristics, and I think that's going to bode well for Lukaku.
I have a group of five names, okay? I just want to throw that out there. I start off every preseason with the same choice, Icardi, but I don't have his name on here because I don't know if he's going to play or not. I think if Icardi comes to Juve, he's going to win the title. Easily.
Yeah, I think so too.
Easily.
However, so I'll put an asterisk on Lukaku.
I'm going to say, unless somebody else comes to the league, I have Zapata at one. I just think he's just going to score a shitload of goals. I think Milik is going to have an unbelievable season this year.
Did you miss it? Did you see his miss against my against?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Well, the players I could be saying
fucking
is
fucking chest over the net. Yeah. He could have beat Barcelona. Mm-hmm. He chests the ball over the net. I can't.
I have Milik at number two. Sometimes I say these players' names because I want to jinx them. Like I used to always say Higuain's name.
Sometimes or all the time.
All the time.
I really have, the Higuain jinx didn't work though, because
yeah,
he ended up having the beat up on my
Frosinone bad. Okay, he scored I think 8 goals in 2 games against them, which helped them win.
To break the record.
I have Ronaldo at number 3, and I would put Ronaldo as the winner hands down if I felt that he was going to play more league games. I think that Sadi is going to rotate him a lot because I think.
Did you use Sarri and rotate in the same sentence?
Yes, and I used to be the first guy to rip on him because he used to always say that he played the same 11, 12 guys every week.
Because he did.
And it cost them big time in the league and in Europe. The reason being is because Ronaldo is going to be 35 this year, early on in 2020. And I don't think he's going to be able to play all 38 games. We saw last year that he sat out a couple of games and he was a little injury here and there. And the main focus is going to be the Champions League. I think if the Scudetto race is close, I think he plays more games. If Juve is, and hypothetically, if they were able to pull away early, which I don't think is going to happen, in a perfect world, they pull away early, I think he plays less, right? And if they focus more on European games and, you know, things like that. I have Lukaku at number 4. I think Lukaku, because it's a slower league and his pace and his aerial ability, I think he's going to do well in Serie A, even though I think he's awful and he's not worth anywhere close to 80 million. And I was ready to quit our show when I heard the Dybala-Lukaku swap. And I wrote this in our chat.
There's evidence.
There's evidence. This is real. I was never going to come back if this ever happened. This was the worst decision that would ever been made. Okay? And that's all I'm going to go. I don't want to swear anymore.
It didn't happen.
So I'm fine. Okay, and I have Quagliarella because he's defending champ.
And because he's Quagliarella, his jersey's hanging right there.
And I think Quagliarella has a very good shot at making the Euro Cup squad.
Hey.
You know what? I hope
if he has the same season that he had last year,
he'll make it.
He better be on that flight, wherever the games are. Because he's going to be at multiple cities. He better be there.
And that national team jersey becomes relevant again. So I'll steal that back, guys. But you're right. I mean, and it's going to be so exciting and so fun to watch. And again, there's so many moving parts, right? We don't know if Higuain's going to end up staying at Juventus.
Where's he going to go, though? Roma's re-signed Dzeko. So they're not.
If he stays, he's going to play. Like a lot of people are saying that on August 24th, Juve's first 11, he's the guy. He's the number 9. He's starting.
With Sarri as the coach, I wouldn't suppose.
He's going to be starting. And it wouldn't surprise me if you got a hat trick. No disrespect to Parma. I think that's going to be a ridiculously hard game because that's always a hard game for Juve.
Ask Parma Chris what he thinks.
Yeah.
let's get to the new boys in Serie A, though, because Lecce, Brescia, Verona all came up quickly because we're running out of time. Time's always that enemy. But Lecce, Brescia, Verona, who are we predicting to stay up and who are we predicting to go right back down?
Brescia stays up.
Yeah, I agree.
They made the moves, right?
They're going to sign Balotelli. And I think on that team...
Donnarumma. Imagine Balotelli and Donnarumma.
Like at least 20 goals between them. There you go. And you have Tonali setting them up. And Marchisio, if he comes, that's a solid team that could even like maybe break into the top half of the table. I don't know, funny. Man.
That'd be exciting.
Like that, I'm excited to watch that
so
team.
So am I. Lecce Verona then. Who goes down? Gross?
Both.
Wow, man.
I have
Verona for sure.
I have Lecce, Verona, and should I say my third?
Yeah,
we're doing that now.
Yeah, go for it.
I have Spal.
Yes, Spal or Udinese. Yeah.
I have Spal going down, and I was gonna pick Genoa, but I don't think Genoa is gonna go down.
Either do I.
I think Udinese is gonna stay, just like barely, like by one point. I think they'll stay.
But remember last season we picked Spal to finish dead last,
and they shocked us.
So I'm not gonna pick Spal.
But the thing with Udinese is, I feel like they've become the new Kiev. Where they were just barely above relegation now. And, five years ago, 10 years ago, they had so much potential. But I feel like the Pozzo family...
Well, Kiev will never have potential.
You know, the Pozzo family gave up on Udinese. I feel like they're like that ugly stepsister now that they bought teams in Spain and in England. And with Udinese, they're just not bringing and producing that like we used to see, right? They used to have that pipeline of players that they, you know, the Alexis Sanchez's, the Handanovic's, the Inlers. You know, they would just find these guys. Asamoah. Armero, like that's not the case anymore.
One team that I really fear for is Sampdoria.
Really?
Yeah, well, I think Quagliarella will score goals, but they've lost Saponara, who's actually playing for Genoa now, on loan from Fiorentina. So it wasn't Sampdoria who sold him to Genoa, because that would be sacrilegious. And they lost Yanki Manderson to Lyon, one of their best defender last season. So... I fear for Sampdoria, and obviously they don't have Gianpaolo anymore, so it's I don't know. They could be okay, but I fear for them.
I fear there'll be a funeral because you know those Genoa fans will hold a big funeral. They're not playing.
I think Genoa will be okay.
So do I.
They got my boy Christian Zapata in the back.
I think Genoa will be okay. Spal is just like. And he scored against Juve last year, Flokery, who's like 90 years old, which really pissed me off. But I feel like they didn't really improve.
So we've got our relegation picks. Let's go with our top four. Hello, Pop. You count it down.
Buddy.
4-3-2-1. You give it to us.
So we're saying the descending champion? Order.
No, you're going with the fourth? The third.
Oh, okay. Second. We're just saying who's going to make top four.
No, you're going to know. We're saying specific order, but you're going to tell me the fourth team? The third team, the second team, and the Scudetto winner.
Fourth place, I'm saying AC Milan. They're going to make it this time. And I might even put money on this. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how I feel at the beginning of this, once the season starts. But I think they've made enough moves to make that push and to keep pushing throughout the rest of the season. I think it will help them that they're not playing in the Europa League. And I think... Piontek and a two striker formation is going to really flourish. I think it's better for him to play in that kind of formation. We saw how well he played off of Kwame at Genoa. I think, you know, whether it's beside Rafael Leao, their other new signing, or, you know, Angel Correa, who Milan have been linked with for the past 2 months, I think he's gonna have a good time up there. Third place, I'm going to say Napoli. I think they're just solid. They're solid. I have nothing really bad to say about Napoli. It's more so about what I think Inter is going to do. I think Inter is going to take that jump up and finish in second place just because of the Conte factor and the fact that I think that they're one of the most improved squads in Serie A. And for a ninth season in a row, it's going to be Juve winning the title.
Gross. No, go ahead.
You go. Yeah.
Four.
I have Roma at four.
Oh, buddy.
And I was going to pick Lazio because I hate Roma.
Just for that reason.
But I just think Roma is just going to be better this year. They didn't lose anybody, really. It depends if they're able to get they get, you know, Rugani or Lovren, or I know they're linked to another player at this as center back role, which they do need.
They need one more center back.
This is based on them properly replacing Manolas. If they don't, I think Milan, just because of Gianpaoli and the fact I think some of their players are going to make a jump this year, I think Romagnoli is going to be have a stellar season, and I think he's going to be fighting for a starting role at Euros. I've been a big fan of Kessié. I know he was close to leaving and going to Wolves, but I think he's going to have a fantastic season. So it's either going to be Roma or Milan. I think it's going to be Roma, and Milan's going to be close, especially because they're not in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Fonseca is going to have Roma playing well. So I'm going to say Roma at 4. But if Milan comes fourth, I wouldn't be surprised. I think Lazio is going to just slightly miss out. I don't think Fiorentina is good enough yet. Atalanta, just because
they're going to be
it's
stretched.
Because of Champions League, they're going to be stretched match. And you know and all that. So I just don't think Atalanta is going to make another push for Champions League, even though I would love for it to happen. But I just don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, if somebody asked an Atalanta supporter, like a hardcore supporter, if they would take a full season at the Champions League, playing their home games at the San Siro, and you know finish sixth the next season, would they take that? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
I think Inter is going to come third.
Hey.
I'm curious to see how Conte does playing in the Champions League and dealing with Serie A. He only had to do that. Well, he did that twice with Juve. Once we made it to the quarterfinals when we lost to Bayern Munich. We were completely outplayed against Bayern in those two legs. And then the other year was that debacle against Galatasaray. You can say it was the pitch, or you can say it was Conte's incompetence.
And maybe a little bit of both.
It could be a little, but you got eliminated before we played the last game. Yeah. In that game, we lost when we tied, when we blew those other games in the group stage.
Fair.
Conte playing his full starting 11 against the last place team in a meaningless Serie A game because they were going for the records and they were trying to be undefeated and do all that nonsense, and it bit us in the ass in Europe. It's nice to have 102 points and have a record, but it would have been nice to make the knockout stages two of the Champions League, right? And then we blew playing in the finals of the Europa League in our own stadium when we lost to Benfica again because of Conte's incompetence. I think Conte's going to have Inter firing in all cylinders, but I don't think it's going to be enough to beat Juve or Napoli. I think Napoli's going to finish second. I think because of Ancelotti, I think they're going to have a little bit more focus on potentially winning the Coppa Italia and bringing a trophy home. And we all know Ancelotti is one of the greatest European managers of all time. And I think Napoli is going to be a force to be reckoned with in Europe. His pedigree domestically is not that great. I know he won the league title with Chelsea. I know he won the Scudetto with Milan. And obviously he won with PSG. So he has league titles in different countries, but he's not known for his domestic dominance. It's more of his European pedigree. And I think most people would rather take that.
Yeah.
Right? I'd rather be a force in Champions League, right, than just a force like at home. I think Juve is going, I'm not going to say it on air, to win. But obviously if Roma's coming fourth and Inter's coming third and Napoli's coming second, you guys can finish my sentence.
Torino to win the Scudetto.
That's it.
I'm just curious to see
Piemonte Calcio.
Everybody's dream was to sign for Piemonte Calcio. I'm curious to see what Sarri this is all going to be about. Just because I feel like if Juve is just stringing along results and we're not playing beautiful football, I just don't think we're going to change that style. And if Sarri ball isn't working, Juve is going to go back to winning scrappy and winning games that they shouldn't win. And we're going to forget about this pretty football.
I disagree with you there because
I haven't seen this pretty football yet in preseason.
No.
A little flicks and tricks.
It takes a while.
But did Juve screw up on not getting the right central midfielder for his style? That's my concern.
I think Pjanic is going to have a wicked season.
I know he wants him to have 150, 100, 200 million touches a game, but I don't know if that's possible with the type of players that we have.
I'm going to go fourth. I agree with you, Ant. I think it's going to be Milan. I think this is finally the year they get over the hump. I think they finally got some stability to the club. I think that, you know, with Gianpaolo at the helm right now, you're right. They haven't made the sexiest moves this offseason, mm-hmm. but they've made the right moves. And I mean, this was a team I also predicted would finish in the top four last year. And I was echoing many of the same sentiments last year. So I could be completely wrong, but I do think they do finish in the top four, especially because they're not playing in any European competition. Right. So there's no distraction there. Third, I'm going to go with Inter. Again, just because, and I could, Inter's also a team I can end up seeing win the Scudetto, so I could be completely wrong on this, but I think they've made the leap in quality. I think they're better. I think Conte's going to get the best out of them. I just don't see them passing either Juve or Napoli. I also think, though, that it's going to be a three-horse race for that Scudetto.
Yeah, I think so.
There's the Napoli, Inter, Juve, and I think it's going to be a closer race than last year, and I think there's the rest of the pack fighting for fourth. Second, and again, I'm going to take a bold prediction here.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I am. I'm going with it. I'm saying Juve. And the reason I'm saying Juve is I actually think they can win the Champions League this year. And I think that's going to be their sole focus. I also think there's a lot of question marks with Sarri, because you're right. And this is the contrast. And I was mentioning this earlier on another show, because I was thinking Sarri is the least Juventus coach ever, in the sense of both on and off the pitch, right? Mm-hmm. Off the pitch, guys wearing tracksuits, hacking butts, you know, like, he's not the suit and tie proper football elite coach that Juventus is used to, that we're used to seeing there. And so I think there's going to be question marks, that because last year Juve fans were ripping Allegri apart because they were playing boring football, right? They were getting the results in Serie A, and for the most part in the Champions League, besides when it came to Ajax, but they're playing boring football. I think Sarri's going to play that aesthetically pleasing style of football. I think it's going to take a little while to implement. And I actually think he's going to start the season running, because that's a big misconception with Sarri, where people think, oh, he starts slow. No, he started
quickly at Chelsea.
He did. And that's why I think Juve's going to hit
five
the ground.
Wins in a row?
Yeah, he's going to, yeah. And they didn't lose a game for like 2 or 3 months, right? And I think that'll be the case again. The question mark becomes, and I know Juve has more depth than Chelsea did and the Napoli did, but is he going to run these players in the ground? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a question mark, a legit question mark, because you're right. Ronaldo should not be playing a ton of league games, but we'll see whether that happens. And I think early on in the season is going to determine that, because if, you know, Napoli, Juve in week two, if Juve beat Napoli and Juve get a win against Parma in week one and they do all that, that pressure will be a little bit off of Sarri until the Champions League games come, and we'll see what he does there. And again, we don't know what Juve's full squad is going to look like, but there are some question marks. I think Dilett was a massive signing for them, and I think he's going to do fantastic in a Sarri system. I think he was the perfect signing. My question becomes the sacrifices they have to make in order to make that signing, right? Is Dybala a sacrifice? Is Cancelo a sacrifice, right? Is Moise Keane, was he a sacrifice to make that signing? And when you look at it from that perspective, was it worth it? And I could be completely wrong on this, but I think it's a question mark. And the reason I'm going with Napoli, and honestly, I could just as easily pick Inter to go here, because I just believe one of them will end up winning the Scudetto. The reason I'm going with Napoli, though, is one, they're the only team out of the top five or six besides Atalanta who does have the same coach that's returning, and I think that's a little bit of an advantage. Napoli also have a very difficult schedule to start the season, right? They're away to Fiorentina, they're away to Juventus, but I actually think that could be an advantage because they've got that stability. They're not learning a new system where some of these other teams are. So I think it's actually a good thing for Napoli to go to Torino and play Juventus in week two while Juventus is still trying to find their groove. And the other reason is I think you're going to see a real leap of quality in the likes like a Fabian Ruiz. I mean, we saw what he could do last year. I think he's going to be an absolute stud this year. I also think Lozano seems to be on his way. I think that's almost a done deal. I think that's a huge pickup. To be honest, and again, I could be completely wrong on this, I think Icardi does end up in Napoli.
Wow.
And the reason I say that is one, De Laurentiis this year, De Laurentiis is very vindictive. He can be a complete asshole. And I think, in all honesty, this is the year that he thinks he has the best chance to beat Juve. And I think, especially with Sarri there, that's why they're going out. Because I think they've had a fantastic transfer window. Whether Icardi comes or not, I think the additions of Di Lorenzo and Manolas alone are huge to that back line. And I think De Laurentiis really believes this is the year. And I think he really wants to please Ancelotti. Because last year, Ancelotti kept largely what was given to him. And I think out of respect to the year before that, the Napoli had that, you know, record season for them, He didn't want to change too much. He kept a lot of the same playing style, at least to start the season. This year, you're starting to see him put his real stamp on this club. His style of football, his brand of football, the players that he wants. And I think, to be honest, De Laurentiis wants to please him because he's the most prestigious coach Napoli has had, right? At least in recent years. I mean, Benitez was up there, but Ancelotti comes with a pedigree that no other coach comes with. And I mean, in 2 years from now, just like we saw with Sarri, De Laurentiis could shit all over him and say he was the worst coach, I hated him, blah, 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 right? But for the time being, I think he wants to please him. And if I mean, it's, again, it's a massive if, but if Lozano and Icardi do arrive, I think that's with that
those
defense,
are statement signings.
They are. And I think, just like I think with Manu lost, because I'll be all, listen, I think his loss is actually bigger than people realize, because when he got hurt last year, Napoli suffered big time. But Maximovic, Kirikas, they're not on the same level as Manu Las. And what I saw in Ann Arbor for Manu Las, because Luperto was shit, Kirikas was all over the pitch. He was tripping over himself. Manu Las saved that team. And it was a 4-0 loss. But in that first half, it ended 0-0. And that was strictly because of Alan and because of Manu Las.
Well, I think you can make an argument that Manu Las and Koulibaly are
the best center back pairing.
The best center, maybe not. Maybe not the best, but you would probably put them in the top five in Europe.
Yeah, easily, I think.
I think that's fair.
And I think, I mean, with Dilett going to Juve, I think Juventus, I mean, honestly, between Inter, Juve, and Napoli, it's hard to argue that those aren't three of the best defenses on the planet right now, right? I mean, Barcelona is a stacked squad, but you got some questions about their defense, right? Like, Real Madrid, I got some questions about their defense. Manchester City, maybe that's a little bit of a different story with Guardiola and the way they play, but it's, and especially that they signed Cancelo. But I digress. I think we've given a pretty
covered
good,
everything,
yeah,
man.
And we're back. But like I said, when we said we were making some serious changes, we are making some serious changes. We won't be doing a weekly show anymore. We will be doing a monthly show live, not live. Maybe live sometimes, but we're going to be doing a monthly wrap-up to talk just like we are tonight about Serie A. But the big change is going to be our document series.
Our docu-series,
where we're going to be telling stories from Calcio past, present, and even the future. Because we've decided that, you know what? After 8 years of doing this, and we love it, and we love it to death, we had to flip the switch, and we had to give you something that nobody else is offering. And we can proudly say that what we believe we're about to release next week, the Ronaldo, the first episode of that docuseries, is going to be like anything unlike anything you've ever heard before. And I can honestly say that.
Yeah, no one's ever really done this in an audio form anyway. So no. I'm really excited to hear what everybody thinks.
And with that said, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being patient. Thank you for sticking with us, because we're back. And I like to think we're better than ever. I have been your host, Marco Cubani D'Onofrio.
As always, Donato G.
Sports Caddy.
Producer Gizmo.
And Marco the intern, lying comfortably on the couch, tweeting all your Serie A needs @Stereo Serie A on Twitter. Thank you and good night.
Later.